Medical Missionaries, Nashville, Tennessee, June 1904. To our medical missionaries, we have a special message to bear to the world, and all our medical missionary workers should be exerting an influence that God will accept. Their lives should diffuse the influence of the cross. A great interest should be shown by them in the extension of the Lord's work. They should feel a deep sense of grief and humiliation as they think that many of the cities which have been kept before us for the last 25 years have not heard the message of present truth. There are heathen, as it were, right in our borders, in our large cities. But how few have a burden for these unwarned ones? How few are willing to invest their means in the work of enlightening them? Entreaties have been made, but many have listened to the counsel of men not worked by the Holy Spirit. The members of the Christian Church are designed expressly by God to live the Christ life and to diffuse the influence of the cross. When this is done as God requires, Christian missions will furnish a striking illustration of the power of the principles of Christ. The wonderful efficiency of the cross will be seen and felt. The power of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, will be revealed. Ephesians 3, verse 19. The kingdom of God is founded upon infinite love, compassion, and purity. In perfect obedience is found perfect joy. All missionary successes have been gained by proportionate effort. By God's ordained means, we can work successfully, meeting and surmounting obstacles, standing steadfastly under Christ's banner, refusing to fail or become discouraged. But when the Lord's workers relax their devoted, persevering efforts, prosperity declines. The Christian is to make the great medical missionary his example. Then there will be seen in his work a purity, a righteousness that will bring success. Entire Christian consecration is needed now. Unless this is brought into the medical missionary work, human ideas will be followed, and evil influences will come in to sway things in accordance with the purposes of the enemy. Divine enlightenment is greatly needed at this time, for the perils of the situation are very great. There are some who in the past have had a correct experience, but who have changed leaders. Not all, but many, have been beguiled. There are leaders who, before God can own and accept them, must first be converted and led by God. The beauty of His holiness is eclipsed by their unsanctified words and acts. They are strangers to God. They have no union with Him. Those leaders who refuse to be led by Christ place themselves under the leadership of the evil angels. Some have already done this, and some, without severe chastisement from God, will never break the spell. God does not own the work as it is now revealed in Battle Creek, and therefore it is unsafe to gather our youth to a school there. When I first heard of the reopening of the college in Battle Creek, I was in great distress, for I knew that this, if managed as some desired, would call many young people there, when God has given warning after warning that we are not to center in that place. When Elder Jones connected with the work there, I understood that his work there would continue for 1 year only, that for 1 year he would take the Bible classes and teach clear, decided, testing truths, and that at the end of the year, his work there would be done. I said to him, "Dr. Kellogg does not understand the real groundwork of our faith. Many of those who have been educated in Battle Creek need to learn the alpha of present truth. Can we, with the present showing, advise our youth to obtain their education in Battle Creek? No, I will turn and overturn, saith the Lord. Not all the leaders in Battle Creek are safe, reliable men. God is not leading or teaching them. Those who have had message after message and yet have not heeded those messages do not know the value of the knowledge that maketh wise unto salvation. I have received plain instruction that unless Dr. Kellogg is converted, we cannot sustain him. He will imperil our youth, and his influence will lead away from truth and righteousness. In the past, I have withheld much, hoping that he would search the scriptures and see his danger. but I am now to advise our people not to be drawn into Battle Creek. You who have seen our youth lose their Christian experience and go into infidelity in Battle Creek, can you answer the question, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, verse 36 and 37. What line can sound the depths of the ruin of one soul? Who can weigh the eternal weight of glory and bliss that every soul saved will surely enjoy?
God forbid that one word of encouragement should be spoken to call our youth into Battle Creek, to be leavened by the misrepresentations and falsehoods regarding the testimonies and the work and character of the ministers of the gospel. I have been given light that unless Dr. Kellogg becomes a changed man, he will become Satan's decoy to seduce souls away from the truth. At times he will work to undermine the confidence of those in whose minds he can plant seeds of doubt and questioning. The light given me is that he hates the testimonies of reproof and will refuse to follow the light given him by God to direct his feet in the right way. My message will become more and more pointed, as was the message of John the Baptist, even though it cost me my life. The people shall not be deceived. We cannot advise our youth to go to Battle Creek to receive their education when the Lord is calling them away from Battle Creek, that they may be taught what is the truth for this time. That which has been said in regard to Living Temple and its seducing sentiments is not overdrawn. The presentation made in this book is a seductive one. The influence of some of its theories will be to close the minds of those who receive them against the truth for this time.